We begin today the series, Conquering the Giants. Conquering the Giants. Today we talk about the giant of fear. Scripture lesson is 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm just going to lift up one verse, and that is verse number 4. That's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistine named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. I want to talk to you just conquering the giant of fear. Everybody fears something. I remember when I was a boy, I was scared of the boogeyman. You familiar with that too, huh?
Wow.
Now I'm not afraid of the boogeyman, but there are some things that I'm afraid of, and I'm sure there's some things that you are afraid of. The thing is, as you grow older, your fears grow. And just a little research says that scientists have discovered that there are only 2 natural fears. And I wonder if you know what they are, that we are born with 2 natural fears. Let's just take a little exam here in terms of, do you think the natural fears, is it fear of drowning? I see some mothers today, they put their babies in the water to learn how to swim almost after they get out of the womb. That scared me to death. I'd be scared. Is it the fear of falling? Is it the fear of commitment? What are the 2 natural fears that we are born with? Is it the fear of the dark? Is it fear of spiders? Is it the fear of snakes? Is it the fear of the church? Is it the fear of preachers? Is it the fear of public speaking? Anybody afraid of public speaking? Is it the fear of loud noises? What are the 2 natural fears that we are born with? The fear of falling. Babies are afraid to fall initially. And then the fear of what? Loud noises. And every other fear we learn as we get older. And if we can learn those fears, we can unlearn those fears. And I don't know what you're afraid of, but I know one thing. You've got some fears that you're dealing with. You might be looking very good. And, you know, giants show up on your yard unannounced. They don't send you an email saying, I'm coming to your house tomorrow. They just show up on your yard, and you and I have to learn how to deal with our fears. But the overall theme of this series is Romans 8, chapter 31, and it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And whatever you're afraid of, I want you to know that God is for you. And sometimes in life, we don't feel like God is for us, but I want you to know that God, look at somebody and say, God's got your back. He got your front too. He's all over you. And in this particular text, there's this confrontation between the Philistines and Israelites. And the Philistines show up in their army, and the Israelites show up in their army, and they go down there, and this Philistine giant by the name, what's his name? His name is? You got it. Goliath. He's a 9-foot giant. Muscles all over the place. His outfit weighed 125 pounds. The head of the javelin that he had in his hand weighed 15 pounds. He was a bad boy. And he gets up front of the army and says, hey, send your best out to fight me. If your best kills me, we will become your slave. But if I kill him, you'll become our slaves. So Goliath is out there. Everybody in the Jewish community is scared to death of this giant. They are scared and they are trembling. And Goliath is strutting. Goliath goes out twice. I think when I was a boy, when you had people doing that, they say, he's just out there signifying. Anybody know anything about signifying? He'd go out there twice. He'd go out there in the morning. He'd go out there tonight and said, send out your best. And nobody would go out to fight him. But David comes along. Little David, little shepherd boy. David comes along and said, hey, he is not only insulting Israel, he's insulting the God of Israel, the God who brought us out of Egypt, the God who brought us across the Red Sea, the God who brought us across the wilderness. He's out here blaspheming the name of God. He's not just blaspheming Saul. He's just not blaspheming the soldiers. He's blaspheming God. David says, I'll go fight him. Saul looks at little David. Let me see if I can put this. I know there was a fight last night. Who fought?
Mayweather.
Because I was getting ready to go back to Muhammad Ali. It's like Mayweather and Jackson. Everybody knows how the fight's going to come out. Even if I had a gun, they'd bet on Mayweather. Because I'd be standing there like, oh. So that's the scenario. It's like Goliath is Mayweather and David is Jackson. David says, I got him. David says, he's out here insulting my God. He's out here, he's just not talking about me. It's like, it's worse, you know, if you talk about my mama, you can talk about a whole lot of things, but don't talk about my mom. But even worse, if you talk about my God. And so David says, I'll fight him because I was minding my father's sheep one day, and a bear came up, and I took my slingshot, and I killed the bear. And then another day, a lion came up, and I took my slingshot, and I killed the lion. And this uncircumcised Philistine is no more than the bear and the lion. So David reached down and picked up 5 smooth stones, and he took one in his slingshot, and he threw it and hit him right between the eyes. He fell down. He went over, took his sword, and cut his head. Reason that he cut his head off, I think he just wanted to make sure he was dead. Because he knew if that boy had gotten up, he would be in trouble. And the black preachers have said, when David picked up the 5 stones, he recognized that the Philistine had 4 brothers. Yeah. He wanted to make sure, just in case those guys came, he was able to handle the 4 brothers too. Look at somebody and say, you got to finish the job. If you start it, you better finish it. So, David shows up, and this is the lesson, the 4 lessons in this scripture that I want you to get. The first lesson is, you got to name your giant. Amen. You got to know who you're fighting. You got to know what you're fighting. I don't know what your giant is. It might be unemployment. It might be a bad relationship. It might be financial problems. It may be sickness. It may be all kinds of things. But if you're going to fight the giant, you got to name the giant. And if you can name it, you can tame it. Look at somebody say, if you can name it, you can tame it. But you got to be able to name what your battle is. David shows up and said, Goliath. He said, I'm not fighting the whole army. All I got to focus on is that big 9-foot tall giant. And all I have, and then the other thing is, you got to fight your own battle. You got to use what you have against the giant. David goes there, and Saul says, you can't handle him. You're a little boy. He's a giant. He's accustomed to fighting in wars. So, and then finally Saul says, okay, ain't nobody else going against him. You go ahead. If you won't get killed, go ahead. And so he says, but before you go, take my weapons. Here's my sword. Here he is. A little teenage boy, and he tries to put that stuff on. It's like me wearing baby Fro's clothes. You know, here I am, little skinny guy, and I'm going to put on baby Fro's. That stuff is going to weigh you down. It's going to be all over the place. You trying to move your arm, and the coat comes all over your head. And David says, hey, I can't fight with this stuff. I got to use what I got. Look at somebody and say, you got to use what you got. When you get ready to fight your giant, your cousin can't fight it for you. Your mama can't fight it for you. You got to go out there. It's just you and God. Look at somebody and say, it's just me and God. But if God is for me, and it doesn't matter what's against me, because whatever giant I'm facing, God is bigger than the giant. Do I have a witness in the house? If I got a 9-foot giant, I got a 18-foot God who's able to do everything but fail. So David goes out there and he takes his slingshot. And what I like about it, now here's the other thing. Can you imagine what would have happened if David had missed the first time? Yeah. John, you got to be sure if you're a little runt going up against a 9-foot giant, you got to aim right. But the other thing is, David had confidence. You got to look back on what the Lord has brought you through, and so that when you face the next giant, you are able to take a sure shot, and you have confidence because you have the history that you fought some lions before, and you fought a bear before, and you recognize it wasn't me that defeated them, it was God that defeated them. And if the Lord had done it in the past, he can do it again.
David, he slung that, he took that slingshot in. He threw it out there and he hit him the first time. Now here's the other thing, that once you name it and you tame it, then you begin to, you got to replace fear. I can imagine that David was fearful, you know, even though he had this history. But how many know that sometimes you can be afraid and you still got to go forward? You're afraid of the surgery. You're afraid to go to the doctor. You felt a lump right there, and you decide, I don't want to go to the doctor. But you sometimes look at somebody and say, you got to go anyhow. You're afraid, you're nervous, but you gotta get yourself up and get dressed and get down to the doctor and pray. Look at somebody and say, you gotta pray as you go, but you gotta go anyhow, and you gotta wait on the Lord and trust the Lord that the Lord will bring you through. And so David was afraid, but I'm sure he prayed the Lord, replace my fear with your faith. How many of you know that fear and faith can't reside in the same resident? But if you're gonna have some faith, you gotta ask the Lord. You gotta pray and ask the Lord. Lord God, remove my fear. I'm scared to death, but give me the strength just to get up one more time. And Lord God, I know that you're able to do all things but fail. Lord, I know you're a doctor who's never lost a patient. Lord God, I'm trusting you. I don't see how you're going to do it. I'm looking at this situation, this giant that I got to face. But Lord God, you've done it in the past. So David goes out there and he takes a slingshot. I was talking this morning about, fear. You don't know when fear is going to show up. And then the other thing is, fear is an inside job. I was down in St. Thomas and went down to Deacon Hodges' sister's funeral. My schedule and my contacts in the airline allowed me to go down there and be with the family. And spent a couple of days down in St. Thomas, the funeral. And on the way back, it was a sunny day in St. Thomas. I got to the airport. I said, oh, boy, I just know it's going to be a great flight today. You know, it's sunny. Got on the plane. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. We have some news that this 4-hour flight is going to be turbulent. It's
It's going to be a lot of turbulence. There's thunderstorms all in the area. We're crossing the ocean. And I'm saying, why you got to tell me that? It's sunny down here in St. Thomas. And he said, we're talking to the tower. We're trying to see if we can circumvent some of the storm. Look at somebody and say, you can't circumvent all turbulence. I'd like to get around the cancer. I'd like to get around the unemployment. I'd like to get around the divorce. I'd like to get around the sickness. But sometimes you can't go around it. Sometimes, look at somebody and say, you just got to go through it. And you might not be able to go through it by yourself. But if God is on your side, I'm a living witness. He can take you through. He can develop you and grow you in the midst of the storm.
Let me get back to my story. So he's telling us that, you know, we're going to have turbulence.
Then we sit on the runway for somewhere between 30 minutes and 45 minutes. And I'm saying to myself, you know, it'd be all right if we just sit here. How many of you know that fear can paralyze you? You can be so scared. There's a whole lot of people. I know a man that's dead right now because he had prostate cancer and he would not go to the doctor. And finally, he waited too late. And when he went to the doctor, it was too late. Look at somebody and say, don't let fear paralyze you. You got to trust God and get up and move anyhow and know that God will go with you.
So here we are, sitting on the tarmac on the runway. Finally, we took off. For the first hour, it's fine. It's fine. Like I said, what are you talking about? This is all right.
But then, an hour later, he came on the PA system. He says, if you got to go to the bathroom, you better go now. He says, at least for the next hour, we're going to be in turbulence. He says there's thunderstorms out on the ocean. He says there's a 200 mile an hour wind blowing against the side of the plane. And I'm saying to myself, why didn't we stay on the runway? So I'm sitting there, and sure enough, here we go. Up and down. And there's this lady sitting there next to me, and she said, before she was talking, she said, well, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. So when we got into turbulence, Barbara wasn't there. Usually when Barbara's there, I'm holding her hand. But those of you know that I'm into yoga, when we got into turbulence, I'm just doing deep breathing. I'm trying my best to stay calm in the midst of a storm. Now, you can laugh at me if you want to, but when you're going through the storm of life, you better find a way to just keep calm. You got to pray. You got to sing. You got to wait on the Lord. You got to trust the Lord. You got to ride out the storm. And if you don't ride out the storm, you'll be paralyzed by life. I wish I could tell you that you never have to go through turbulence. You know, sometimes the clouds can get so high, you can't get above them. Do I have a witness? Sometimes the breath is so wide, you can't get around it. You just got to ride out the storm. Now, you might not be doing deep breathing. But, and the other thing is too, everybody had on storms different. I'm doing deep breathing and praying. She's sitting there reading the book. Then after we fly for, you know, because when the pilot says at least an hour of turbulence, I'm looking at my watch. And I find out it's been an hour and a half. And we're still in turbulence. Finally, we got to some calm air. It's calm for the next hour. It's like, you know, I got up and said, hey,
bring me a cup of tea and all that kind of stuff. But just because you came out of turbulence one time, and you're in a calm season for a season, but another hour later, here we go. Life is just like that. All of your turbulence is not in your 40s. Oh, you got some stuff coming in your 50s, baby. You got some stuff coming in your 60s. But I want you to know that if you can just keep your eyes on Jesus, if you can just watch the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, He doesn't promise you that you won't have some turbulence, but He promises you that I'll be with you in the storms of life, and I'll bring you out, and I'll bring you through, and I'll develop you, and I'll make you, and I'll give you some strength if you just hold to God's unchanged.
So, here we are in the second phase of turbulence.
By that time, I began to think, oh, well, first of all, it was turbulence, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. The pilot made it sound like, oh, my God. How many of you know you got to be careful who you listen to? Because they will have you thinking, like, don't go to the doctor and don't have don't have this and don't have that. There's a whole lot of dead people that listen to fools.
So the woman sitting next to me, after we got into the listeners, you know, calm season, she said, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I said, it was bad enough. But the point of it is, can't allow a little turbulence to make you stay paralyzed. Because I started getting nervous as soon as he mentioned, I'm a seasoned traveler, for God's sake. I've traveled to South Africa for seven times, and I've been all over the world on airplanes. I'm supposed to be better by now.
But how many of you know fear is an inside job? Soon as he started talking about the next hour, I could have, if he had said, you know, sometimes they come on and said, for the next little while, for the next 10 minutes, you know, I can handle it. You and I, you don't know how long your turbulence is going to be. You don't know how long your storm is going to be. But so you just have to, if you want to find opportunity, you got to trust God and believe that God knows what's best for you, that He knows better than you know and I know, and you got to get up and trust Him in you. So 4 hours later, after we left St. Thomas, then he began to say, ladies and gentlemen, if you got to go to the bathroom, do it again. But we are beginning our descent into Newark. I arrived on time. We left late and arrived on time. With 200 an hour winds blowing against the side of the plane. Now, can you imagine, because there was turbulence, the pilot had turned off the engine. No. He kept that baby cruising. There was 200 a mile wind coming this way, but I think we were going about 600 miles an hour that way. And I thanks be to God that He kept pressing on. Even though there were people like me sitting on the plane scared to death, He kept flying anyway. And after a while, we were able to land at our destination. And when I got off the plane, He was up there. I said, thank you, Pop. God has brought you through some turbulence. You ought to come to church every now and then. Say, I got a testimony. I know I'm dressed up. It's not like me. But if you've been through what I've been through, you'll give Him some glory too. I just want to thank the Lord for His goodness, because He brought me through. God. Hallelujah. He's a mighty good God. He brought me through.
You know, I remember when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I was talking to some people. And you know, they were kind of telling me, oh, God, it's awful. And, oh, God, that surgery. First of all, they had the surgery 30 years before me. There's a whole lot of stuff done changed. And it's been 12 years since I had prostate cancer. And there's a whole lot of stuff changed. They got robotic surgery. And they had all kinds of stuff. Now, I kept saying, why didn't they have it when I had that surgery? You can't afford to let people keep you paralyzed by fear with all of their negativity and all of their stuff. You better listen to God and not to this negative people. Fear, fear. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? God is for us. Who can be against us? Trust God. Get on the plane. Do your deep breathing. Do your praying. Do your crying. Sit there holding on. Riding out the bumps. But when you get to Newark, I didn't do a thing. As my grandmother said, I didn't do anything. All I did was get on the plane. But the pilot and the Lord brought us in. So when I got to Newark, I had to say, I didn't go out there like the Pope and kiss the ground, but I did say, thank you, Pilate. Thank you, God. I wish I hadn't had to go through some of the stuff I had to go through. But since I did, I'm a better person. Do I have a witness in here? I'm a better person. I'm not a perfect person, but I am a better person, and I have learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in God. I have learned that the Lord will make a way. I've learned that He'll bring you through. I've learned He'll make a way. Face that giant of fear and ask God to replace your fear with faith. And once He brings you through, give Him a victory praise.